it's really fun to push the limits of your comfort zone, because that's how growth happens.
So it's really inspirational to be a rookie that measured up to these other veteran teams.
It blew my mind. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm doing science.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outside of the Box and another STEM Spotlight. And this time we're featuring, another champion from the National STEM Challenge. And today we're talking to Siddharth about his invention that got him to be a champion and going to the National STEM Festival. So welcome, and I'm excited to have you on the show.
Yeah, same here. Thank you so much for inviting me. Super excited.
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, I think the first thing that I always ask everyone is basically what got you interested in entering this challenge? You know, was this something that you were already working on, or did you see, oh, there's a STEM challenge and, you know, you decided to come up with this as an entry for the challenge?
Yeah, so I was already looking into continuing to innovate and actually create a difference in the world. So through my innovation and experience and technology, so that was something I was already looking into doing. And then I came across the National STEM Challenge, and I was like, what an amazing way to actually convey my thoughts and ideas in a very effective manner to show the world about the invention that I'm trying to create and the positive change that I'm trying to make.
Yes, definitely. Now for you, how did you come up with this project in particular? Because I know for some, it's, you know, something that's personal to them or something that they've experienced, and then they choose to go that direction. Or was it just, you know, an idea that you had that maybe isn't personal to you?
Yeah. So actually, when I was 7 years old, I witnessed a young boy who didn't have an arm, and he wasn't able to get a limb replacement. And I actually researched into that, seeing that there was a world of prosthetics that could be implemented, but they were way too expensive and they really weren't cost effective for somebody who's obviously going to grow and they're going to need new arms in the future, and it's going to need to be amputated, and it's like a super expensive procedure, like $30,000. And I was like, why is there not a better solution to this? Why is there not a non-invasive way of doing this at a more cost-efficient scale while also keeping it to be prototypable to create new arms as the child grows or as they continue to become an older person and actually their body changes? So I was like, why is this not there? And that really was like a light bulb moment for me. And I realized that there was a change that needed to be made and that I would be the person to make it.
I love that. It's so great to, you know, be thinking about this at such a young age. Now, what, you know, since you've come up with this, what are your plans for this project moving forward? I mean, is this still something that you're pursuing? You know, where is that in that stage?
Yeah, so I've actually already been able to implement this into a kit. So I'm a founder and CEO myself of a company called STEMIT, where we create innovative STEM kits for students to be future ready in the fields of microcontroller technology. So essentially, we teach them how to code and engineer, and we turn the prosthetic arm into a kit, actually, so that students are able to learn that not only through STEM, you can learn about coding and engineering, but you can actually create a difference. And that's how I've actually been able to implement this arm into a kit for students to learn about coding and engineering while understanding the scope of STEM and the impact that it really can create. So that was one thing that I've created. And we are also working on machine learning models of this kit in the future, such as using voice control and gesture control through TensorFlow Lite that's being uploaded onto a microcontroller running EmbedOS by ARM. So that's currently what we're working on. I am also very passionate about finding more intuitive ways of connecting directly to human control. So this could be through muscle sensors that can detect the movement of preliminary muscles in the arm and detect what the user would be trying to do if they still did have an arm, which is something that I'm also working on for the future, to bring in control through artificial intelligence onto this arm to allow for intuitive human control directly through the preliminary muscles that they already have.
That's amazing. As engineering being my primary area of interest, and I think that that's really what drew me to your project, you know, when I was looking at the projects that were done. I mean, one of my questions was going to be like, how functional would this be? And it seems like from what you're saying, it would be pretty functional as a limb and potentially the ability to expand on higher level of function and, you know, intuitiveness.
So that's actually something that I'm super excited about. I think that everybody deserves to be equal, I'd say. And I think people who are born without an arm or lost an arm in a process, right? It's not really their fault and they shouldn't be really having consequences and they shouldn't be able to live life without one just because they're too expensive or we're unable to create a solution that's able to benefit for their needs. So I think that's why it's always important to continue innovating. And I do think there's a way to actually solve it, which is what I've tried to do through my innovative prosthetic arm.
That is great. Now, me being the way that I am, I'm always trying to think of what other applications could there be for this. So one of the things that immediately came to mind is this is great for humans, but we also have our animal friends that lose limbs sometimes. Is there any potential for using this for, you know, dogs or cats or any animals that would happen to lose limbs?
Yeah, so I definitely think there is potential towards putting prosthetics on animals directly, but I don't think it would be towards the prosthetic hand that I've designed over here because obviously animals have totally different arm structures than us humans do. So, but I do think there is huge potential to be able to bring it into animals' life as well. But I do think it would also be redesigned in a way to allow for functional and adaptability for a pet itself or animal.
Yes, exactly. Because animals move a little bit differently than we do. and then the other piece of that that I was thinking is, you know, because 3D printing, I mean, it's amazing what we've been able to do with 3D printing.
Yeah.
You know, I build robots, and so I like to use 3D printing as a tool to more efficiently and also cost-wise, you know, bring down the cost of building a robot. So, you know, when I think about what other things this technology could do, aside from just limbs, are there other things such as 3D printing dentures or 3D printing, you know, tooth implants that we could do for like other parts of our body, in your opinion?
Yeah, I definitely think 3D printing has huge potential. And I think its ability is very versatile with the multiple materials that it's able to print in. So actually the material that we've used for our prosthetic arm was PLA. And the reason we chose that is because it's 80% more sustainable than other plastics. And it's also made of sugarcane and corn. So that's actually why we chose that, because it doesn't emit toxic fumes. So even in the plastic that we chose for our prosthetic arm, we carefully selected to make sure that we got the right one that we wanted to implement. So I do think from just potential such as this, I think 3D printing really has a huge impact and difference that it can make in people around the world, not only just in the prosthetic arm sector, but also in other fields. For example, it could be used for leg replacements or other limbs, as well as I think 3D printing also would have ability for rapid prototyping of different methodologies or different processes that could be implemented in humans to make life better.
Absolutely. It's funny because I was going to ask you if you foresee a future career in STEM, but I mean, you're already a CEO, so it sounds like you're well on your way. I mean, is there a specific field, you know, is it just engineering in general that interests you the most? Or like, what do you see yourself going into as an adult?
Yeah, so I really do love entrepreneurship, and it's something that I'm very passionate about. So I do plan on continuing multiple businesses in the STEM field or tech field, which is something that I'm passionate about and I'm already doing. But I do also really love doing machine learning and artificial intelligence on embedded systems. I think it's really amazing that we're at the point of technology where we're able to take huge neural networks and actually bring them onto a microcontroller with such less memory. And I think that's something that's really exciting and it has huge potential. So that's also something that I've recently worked on. I actually built a fall detection band that's worn under the shoulder. And then from there, using Gyroscope, getting accelerometer data while running it through a neural network, it can detect when someone falls, because falling is the highest reason for hospitalization in the United States and elderly citizens. So from there, it's able to send SMS notification and email notification to the caretaker or the family telling help is required. And then through their phone, you can check where their location is and where they've fallen. So that's something that I've also actually worked on recently, and I've received 96.1% accuracy in detecting falls correctly. So it's more accurate than the Apple Watch after doing some testing, which is something that I'm super excited about. And I do plan on continuing to innovate in the STEM field and create a difference.
That is just incredible. Now, as far as the National STEM Festival, because that is coming up here, you know, in the very near future, what are you really excited about? Because, I mean, I think for somebody with an entrepreneurial mind, because I'm very much the same way, you automatically kind of think about networking with other people and kind of seeing what other people are doing. Is that what you are looking forward to, or is there some other aspect to it that you're really excited about?
Yeah, so I'm definitely very excited about networking, getting new contacts, and understanding who really has the potential to help me continue and grow as an individual. But I am also really excited about looking into the prospect of really showing the world about what I've done and how it can create a difference. I think that if more people are aware about how they can use STEM to create something that really can change lives around the world, I think that would really be amazing. So that's something I'm super excited about. And I'm also working on that, hopefully, to actually create a difference. So that's something I'm also excited about to present and show at the National STEM Challenge, showcasing the ability to actually change the world and revolutionize technology through our innovations.
Yes, I think that is so important. Now, I mean, it blows my mind that you have a company at such a young age. You know, what for those that are younger that may have thought about doing something like this, you know, how do you go about starting a company? Like, what are the building blocks for that? Because, I mean, I'm an adult and I wouldn't even know how to do that. So it's very impressive.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I definitely think it's always important to continue to pursue your dreams and actually bring them to a reality. So that's something I'm really working on. So Texas, being where I live, is one of the 6 states in the United States that allows for a minor to own their own business. So I was able to leverage that and actually create something of my own to create a difference.
That is awesome. Do you think it's obviously really important, you know, for young people to get involved. I mean, I've said this several times on my show, like, young people are the future. And at some point, you know, it's important for you to take ownership of that future and like make the world the vision that you kind of want it to be. What do you think are the biggest hurdles for young people to, you know, be able to do that, to take that leap and say, hey, like, I can make a difference. It doesn't matter if I'm, you know, 10 years old or 40 years old, like, I can make a difference.
So I think that really is the inhibition right there. I think that is the hurdle. No, thinking that, oh, I'm 10 years old compared to a 40-year-old, right? I think that is the inhibition right there. And that's something I'm trying to prove wrong. It doesn't depend on how old you are. It depends on the impact that you're trying to make. So I think that's something that's really important and you should always keep in mind, no matter whether you're 10 years old or whether no matter whether you're 10 or no matter whether you're 40 years old, there's always a difference that you can make. And there's always a change that you can make to the world and an impact through what you can do. So that's something I'm super excited about. And I definitely think there is so much potential and so much that students and children can really do around the world just by knowing that they can do it and that they can unlock their inner potential, their inner Albert Einstein, should I say.
That is great advice. I'm curious for you, what has been the most rewarding part of this process? Because I mean, to me, I think there's so much like upside to, you know, putting yourself out there and doing something like this. But I mean, for you, what has been the most meaningful?
Yeah, I think the most meaningful part of this whole project was really knowing that I can make a difference and actually bringing my idea to a reality of creating that affordable prosthetic really was a testament towards showing that this is possible. I think it was really amazing and the most rewarding to know that students can make a difference. They are the future and that they can make a change. You know what? Actually, let's not say they're the future. Let's say they're now, because they're ready to change the world. I think that's something that really was rewarding, because it was amazing understanding that there's a difference that can be made by students around the world. And I really love the process of knowing that I can create a change and somebody's life might just become tenfold better just because I put myself out there and created something of my own.
Well, all I can say, Siddharth, is you are truly an inspiration, not just to people your own age, but I think can be an inspiration for anybody. So I think it's amazing. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to the National STEM Festival as well. You know, for folks that are watching, I mean, it is something that you can go to, you know, you can support and everything. So, you know, if you're watching, please make sure that you do that. You know, because I think all of these champions, you know, deserve that like appreciation and support for the work that they've put into this. But also, keep supporting STEM. You know, STEM is in so much that we do. And, you know, it of course is part of that. Support this channel, like, subscribe, follow, comment, all of that good stuff. You know, we have plans to have more champions on, but thank you so much, Siddharth. And we'll see everybody next time on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.